Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." It's a great principle revealed in that particular passage. All things work together for good for certain people, those who love God, those who are the called according to his purpose. That particular principle is illustrated many times in the Bible, and I especially enjoy studying the Old Testament scriptures that provide a number of illustrations of that wonderful principle. The book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, contains a number of very special illustrations of that principle. But for a while, we want to focus our attention on the life of Joseph. I can't help but wonder if Paul thought about Joseph when he wrote that particular passage in Romans 8 and verse 28. But Joseph is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning his faith, and much is recorded in the book of Genesis about him. But his life illustrates the fact that all things work together for good on behalf of certain people. In our lesson this evening, we want to cover the information that's found in Genesis chapter 37. So please turn to that chapter, and we want to cover it and lay a foundation for our study of Joseph. Let's look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." So at this particular time that we're concerned about in the book of Genesis, Jacob lived in the land of Canaan. Now, it was necessary for Jacob to leave his homeland many years earlier because his brother Esau threatened to take his life. Remember that Esau, although they were twins, Esau was the first to be born, but he sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob received the blessing from Isaac, his father, that Isaac thought he was giving to Esau. But Esau became so angry toward Jacob that he threatened to take his life. It was necessary for Jacob to leave his homeland. He went to an area known as Padan Aram, and in that particular area he was blessed with a large family, and he became very wealthy. But eventually, according to chapter 35 and verse 27, God directed Jacob to return to his homeland, and that's exactly what he did. God instructed him to take his family and go back to where he was from, and that's what he did. Now keep in mind that God had promised to give that land to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. Now, Abraham and Isaac had lived in Canaan as sojourners, but now Jacob was actually living there. So as we begin our study of Joseph in chapter 37 of the book of Genesis, we see that Jacob was living in the land of Canaan. Now, the first part of verse 2 mentions the fact that these are the generations of Jacob. It's important for us to be mindful of the fact that Jacob had 12 sons. The tribes of Israel were named after his sons. And his sons are listed for us in chapter 35. Let's begin at verse 23. Now remember that Jacob had children by four different women. Leah and Rachel, they were sisters, and then their handmaids. The sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. And the sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob which were born to him in Padan Aram. After Jacob's sons are listed, In chapter 36, we find the descendants of Esau listed. And after that information is given concerning the descendants of Esau, chapter 37 returns to a study of Jacob's descendants. And in that particular part of the book of Genesis, special attention is placed on the life of Joseph. Well, the rest of Genesis provides a great illustration of God working all things together on behalf of his people. Joseph played a very important role in preserving his family in Egypt. So in a nutshell, that's what the rest of Genesis is about. We find that Joseph went to Egypt, and he played a very important role in preserving his family. Well, let's continue at verse 2 and go down through verse 4. We will see that Joseph's family situation was not good. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now Joseph was 17 years old, as we read about him in these verses. And at that time, he and his brothers were taking care of his father's animals. Remember that by this time, Jacob was blessed with tremendous flocks of herd and herds of animals. And he had many servants as well. But at this time, the writer tells us that Joseph was actually with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. Now, they were the handmaids of Leah and Rachel. Now we need to keep in mind that Joseph was the son of Rachel, and Jacob loved her more than his other wives. Matter of fact, Jesus gave a requirement to his followers that if anyone's going to come after him, they must hate father, mother, wife, children, and so forth. Well, I don't know about you, but when I use the word hate, I think of despising someone. And the Bible teaches us not to do that. But yet, the Bible says that Leah was hated. That helps us understand the Lord's requirement. Now, we don't use the word hate in that sense, but sometimes in the Bible, the word hate is used in a comparative sense. Someone is loved more than someone else. Well, that's what the Lord was teaching us. We're to love him, we're to love God more than anyone else. When Jesus said we must hate our parents, well, the Bible teaches us to love our parents. Is there a contradiction? No, it isn't. It just simply means that we're to love God more than anyone else, even those who are closest to us, including our own parents. Well, the Bible says that Rachel was loved, Leah was hated. Now, what does that mean? It just simply means that Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah. Remember, he agreed to serve 7 years for Rachel. And he had a burning love for Rachel. But then when the wedding night came, their father gave Leah to Jacob. And Jacob asked about that. And her father responded by saying it was not right to give the younger before the older. So Jacob worked 7 more years for Rachel. Now keep in mind that Joseph was the son of Rachel, and Jacob loved Rachel more than his other wives. But Joseph went to his dad, and he gave him a bad report from his brothers. Exactly what they said at this point, we don't know, but all we know is that Jacob received a bad report from Joseph concerning his brothers, even at that particular time. Now, verse 3 shows us how Jacob felt toward Joseph. Jacob loved Joseph more than all of his children, and he made him that coat of many colors. That's a lesson that even little children learn in Sunday school. Joseph's coat of many colors. Well, that was a sign of the love that Jacob had for Joseph. He loved him more than his other children. And let's look at verse 4 again, because it shows us how Joseph's brothers felt toward him. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So Joseph's brothers hated him in the sense that they despised him. Doesn't mean that they love someone else more than him. This is a case where the Bible uses the word hate in the literal sense that Joseph's brothers despised him. Now, I covered those verses to make the point that Joseph's home life was not a good situation. Although his father loved him dearly, his brothers hated him. I cannot imagine being in that kind of an environment, but that's the environment. Jacob loved Joseph dearly, but Joseph's brothers despised him, so much so that they could not speak peaceably unto him. Well, that sounds like a pretty bad situation, but it got worse. That's just the beginning. Let's begin at verse 5 and read down through verse 11. And we will see that Joseph had some dreams concerning the future. Verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Well, these two dreams had to do with Joseph's family bowing down before him. Now, keep in mind Joseph's age. When we're introduced to him, he's 17 years old. Years later, we will see that dream actually coming to pass. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because we'll miss a lot of the story. But eventually, Joseph became the number two ruler in Egypt, and his own brothers came to purchase grain from him. And they were very humble before him. I wonder if Joseph remembered those dreams. Well, when Joseph communicated those dreams, his brothers hated him even more deeply. And they were jealous of him. Jacob was informed about the second dream, and he even rebuked Joseph. And Joseph was questioned about that dream by Jacob. Well, isn't that interesting? You know, when I was reading about Joseph and these dreams, I couldn't help but think about someone else. His name is Daniel. The Lord blessed him with the ability to interpret dreams, and he used that ability that God gave him in a very good way. Well, Joseph has some dreams, and they had to do about things that would take place in the future. Well, let's notice that Jacob sent Joseph to check on his brothers, verses 12 through 17. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, remember Israel was the name given to Jacob, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Now these verses teach us that the animals belonging to Jacob had been taken to Shechem. Now earlier, in chapter 33, we find that Jacob had purchased some property in Shechem. As he was traveling to his father's homeland, he went through Shechem and he bought some property there. But that was the place where his daughter Dinah was violated, and her brothers took vengeance on the people who lived there. Now that had already taken place, and I can't help but wonder if maybe Jacob was concerned that maybe something would happen to his sons because of what had taken place sometime earlier. That's not revealed to us, but it's something interesting to think about. Suffice it to say, Jacob was concerned about the welfare of his sons, which a father naturally would be concerned about his sons, but he sent Joseph to check on their welfare. Now that's important. Jacob sent Joseph to check on his brothers. Now we will come to the end of the chapter and we will see that Jacob thought his son had been killed by a wild animal. Imagine what would be going through his mind, that he was the one responsible for sending Joseph to check on his brothers. Well, let's look at verses 18 through 22. We will find that Joseph's brothers were involved in a conspiracy against him. Verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we will see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. So, the plot was to kill Joseph. His own brothers wanted to take his life. But Reuben, he was Jacob's firstborn, changed their minds. Now he said, let's cast him into a pit, but his intention was to come back later and rescue Joseph from the pit. So that was Reuben's intention. He did not want to take the life of his brother. He wanted to spare him. So he came up with that plan to rescue Joseph so that his life would not be taken. And in the meantime, Joseph was sold as a slave. Verse 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Well, there was a caravan of merchantmen traveling to Egypt. And did you notice what they were taking to Egypt? Spicery, balm, and myrrh. Now, many years later, Joseph would take Mary and Jesus to Egypt. Do you remember what the wise men brought them? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Egyptians were known for their practice of embalming. They had pretty much perfected that. These are some of the items that were used in embalming. And I never had paid much attention to it until I studied the life of Christ in school. But those wise men brought some very special gifts to Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Gold, that's ready exchange. Frankincense and myrrh. When they got to Egypt, they'd be able to sell those products and make some money. Well, isn't it interesting how the Lord takes care of things in such interesting ways? We know what these Ishmaelites were doing. They were going down to Egypt. We know what they were carrying. They were merchantmen, and they were wanting to buy and sell. Well, let's notice that Joseph was sold to these merchantmen as a slave. Now, Judah was the one who suggested that they sell Joseph to these traders, and his brothers went along with him. And they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. Yeah, it's hard for me to imagine how a group of brothers would treat their own brother that way. That was very unkind, wasn't it? Now, when the Bible teaches us in Romans 8 and verse 28 that all things work together for good, does it say that all things are good? No, it doesn't. But all things work together for good on behalf of certain people. Well, remember the brothers, at least some of them, wanted to take Joseph's life. Reuben stepped up and suggested that they cast him in a pit. His intention was to come back later and rescue Joseph. But Judah said, by the way, remember who descended from him. Judah said, let's sell him to these merchantmen. It's not right for us to take his life. Well, you can see how all things are working together for good. Well, there was a problem that developed from that. How would these brothers go back and report to their father? Well, let's keep on reading at verse 29. And Reuben returned unto the pit. Remember, his intention was to rescue Joseph. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Well, here this group of brothers deceived their own father concerning what happened to their brother. They did not want to tell Jacob that they sold him into slavery. So they got his coat, they put the blood on it, they presented it to Jacob, he recognized it, and his assumption was a wild animal had killed his son. You know, I've thought about that a lot over the years. Who was it that sent Joseph out there? Jacob. And now he's having to deal with what he thought was the loss of his son, his favorite son, the son that he loved more than all of his other children. Imagine the anguish that went through his mind realizing that he was the one who sent Joseph out there. That will perhaps help us appreciate what the poor man went through. Well, the next verses show us how Jacob grieved over this situation. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. That's a man who's grieving deeply. He refused to be comforted. There were efforts made to try to comfort him, but he refused. He said, I'll mourn my son as long as I'm alive. Well, that can help us appreciate the anguish that Jacob was going through. Well, let's look at the last verse. It tells us what happened to Joseph. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Well, Joseph was taken to Egypt, and there he was sold as a slave to Potiphar. Not just sold as a slave, but he was sold as a slave to a particular person. A man who was an officer of Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt. Not only that, but he was captain of the guard. Now, unless we're familiar with the rest of the story, I don't think we see too readily all things working together for good. But this is the very foundation. All of this is laying the groundwork for God accomplishing his will. Joseph was one of my favorite Old Testament characters. God had made a promise to Abraham to give the land of Canaan to his descendants. But God had said in chapter 15, as he was talking to Abraham, that his descendants would spend 400 years in a foreign land, and then they would go into the land of Canaan. Well, God's will was being carried out, and Joseph played a key role in that. Well, I think it's interesting that this chapter begins with Jacob and his family living in the land of Canaan. That's the land that God had promised to give to Abraham and his descendants. But it ends with Joseph in Egypt. But through all of this, God's providence was at work.